right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Show your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What up?
Just over here being disgusted.
What's the matter now?
Well, Buckley's got visions of just gross, disgusting kid ravioli fists in my mind. And there is nothing more like disgusting and just gross and repulsive than a little kid's dirty fist. And
This is making me uncomfortable already.
Yeah, well, Buck
can
is...
I tap out 2 minutes in?
No, sure. You can't. Buck is sick. He's got cat AIDS.
Yeah, you sound like you're sick.
I am not sick. I am losing my voice. I was sick towards the back end of last week. This is the residual from
you
that.
Sound terrible, which means your disgusting kids have brought home the Andromeda strain. You have it now. Probably means you're going to give it to the rest of us. And as someone that had kids, at least I was honest about how gross my kids were. Parents, I just don't get it. It's just the love of your kids makes you just blind to their disgustiness. Because I'll like,
well, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Like, who thinks kids are like? What do you mean?
Parents?
You think parents?
I will watch a parent just let their kid with whatever God knows is on their fist just reach into like a plate of food and just raw dog it. Just a fistful of whatever.
Well, yeah, they're 3-in-1. They do that.
Yeah, and then the parents just like, oh, whatever. And I've seen the parents eat off the same plate, or that kid then touches the parent in the face. Kids are just the back of a kid, the back of a parent's car. You don't have a third row, right? You just have the two.
No, just the two.
If you, God forbid, you ever like run into that family that has the third row of a kid's SUV. That's where COVID starts. Just everything is sticky. Everything is gross. You don't know. You don't want to, God forbid something falls on the floor. It belongs to the floor at that point.
I don't want to know how many dried up, you know, old stale Cheerios are in the back seat of my car.
See, so the second row is bad. The third row even worse. And it just, as I've gotten older and my kids have grown out of that, somehow I've gotten more repulsed. Cause like when I was in it, maybe you have to accept it because it's part of being a parent. But once you've gone through that phase, you can't go back. Like people all the time, like, man, would you have another kid? I'd rather die. I'd Spartan myself and throw myself off a cliff somewhere.
The only reason all this came up is because Souk thought maybe I had come down with the cat AIDS. And I said, no, just snotty noses and ravioli fists. Yeah. So that's how we got here.
Yeah, I didn't like the ravioli fist. Yeah. That's
a Sukism that has stuck with me for, I think, even before I had kids.
You're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know where I heard that. That's someone had that somewhere. I don't remember who that was, but
it's a perfect picture, though.
I
for
heard
what
it
a little
and
kid
I was
has.
Like, that's just Wait, the best way to describe
so what do you want
a little kid's hand.
What do you want them to do? Because, I mean, we all know kids
clean their snotty
be
kids.
More grossed out and hygienize their kids more.
Like, really? Is that even possible?
No, of course not.
There is. No, I don't want to hear it.
I don't think it is.
There is a child who is adjacent to us, right? This child will remain nameless because I've been told to shut up and I'm not allowed to speak ill of him. But he's around us.
Little Cannon?
No. Just in my world.
There's been no edicts to speak ill of my children. You can speak ill of them if you'd like to.
And
don't mind if I do.
And this kid is fine. There's nothing wrong with the he's fine. He's a little kid. But he has a runny nose 24/7 and no one does a damn thing about it, and it drives me nuts.
Okay, so that drives my wife and I nuts too, especially playing with like our kids' noses are almost always clean. We have wipes around all the time.
Yeah. Like I had a French Mastiff at one point. Have you ever seen like Turner and Hooch?
Yeah.
So that's a French Mastiff.
My mom's had 3 Bull Mastiffs. They don't drool as much as the Frenchies, but yeah.
So when you have a French Mastiff, guess what was around my house everywhere? Rags. No matter where, like Cleo was her name. And wherever she went.
Because they're jowls, they can't lick their lips.
Yes.
And so they just drool everywhere after they drink.
So if you hear.
Which would be a disqualifying factor for me owning that type of dog.
Right. And if you don't like a drool.
I would never do that.
Because every time they come over after they drink, it's all over your pants.
It's a lot. So you just have to be aware.
You can
have it. You gotta clean walls. You gotta have rags. But it wasn't like I just was like, I'm just to ignore that. And that's my point. This kid, whenever he's around me, I just look at him and I'm like, oh, you want to put, nope, because there's just,
Is he here in the offices?
No. This is in the personal life.
Oh.
This is the adjacent to our friend group. But just I can just picture, and it's always a big giant runny blob of snot that just sits on his lip. And I just want to go. I'm like, what are we doing?
That grosses me out.
We were at the beach once. We were at a beach. And I was just sitting there looking at that, like, can you imagine the amount of sand and just everything that's getting attached to that? Like, wipe. Just wipe. Just someone come along and wipe. And they don't.
Well, that's fair.
Because they're like, oh, he's
got the nose. Or are you saying wipe the hands all the time?
I would appreciate the hand wipe because his hand is touching that snot. And then that hand is getting everywhere else. And then that hand, like when we're at the beach, we're down at the waterfront, because then his hand goes into the snot, then goes into the dirt and the sand or whatever. And then like, if there's like a communal thing, like we're eating and there's like chips and whatnot, guess where that kid's hand's going? Great. Now I can't eat anything. And it's just like make it a, like that kid, he should just be a bubble boy. We need one of those like bubble boy John Travolta suits, or like one of those like sumo balls you put that kid in and you just bounce him around. Just be aware. If you've got a snotty kid, accept that you've got a snotty kid and wipe him. I had a drooly kid.
When you have kids, I think you have a list of things that you want to tackle.
Yeah.
And I feel like you tackle maybe 10% of them.
Yeah.
And for you, that is very high in the 10%.
Should be.
For other people, it is not. Because I feel like other people are like,
there are about 1,000 things you'd want to do with or for your kids, and you have to just decide which ones you're going to leave on the table.
So you have 10% of things that you can, because they're a mess. They're selfish. They're disruptive. Yeah. They're all over the place. They're disgusting. There are so many bad things about kids, little kids. And yet you are in charge of them. Especially when you have two, like in Buck's case, I think parents are just holding on for dear life, and they're just trying to get to tomorrow and keep the kid alive. And I just don't think they can always wipe the nose and the little handsies.
Well, I'm saying that I feel like no matter who you are, again, much like the dog analogy, I just think there's some things that have to come to the forefront because it's what affects all of us. And if
you're saying parents should prioritize that
more
because it's rude not to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And now, much like as an adult, when we're sick, we need to take.
If you're at home, you can do whatever you want with the snotty nose and the dirty hands.
Yeah.
But once that kid ventures out into the public, then it becomes again, we're going on this journey together as a society. And I feel like we should be pulling in the same direction.
At first, I was like, here he goes bitching about something else.
No.
And it's just like, God, this guy's always bitching about something. And then I'm listening to you going, you know, I kind of agree with that, but it makes me an ass. But no, wait, now I'm 100% on board.
It's like my bum voyage idea.
Sign your newsletter.
It seems a little extreme at the beginning, and then all of a sudden you're like, geez, this is crazy like Fox. It's coming around.
No, I'm in on that. I would, if there were an edict to do that or be shoved out of a window, I would sign it.
You can take your Halloween and shove it up your little kid ass.
I love kids. I'm just asking.
I do too. They're great. I don't want to hang around them.
Well, and I don't mind. I like being around kids and I'll play with kids, but you know what? Just like, I like playing with dogs. But if you have a dirty ass dog, I expect you to take precautions. Same thing with kids. And I think parents far too often just do the, it's a kid.
See, no. We do that with
Cannon
dressing himself. He wants to be very independent now, but he frequently comes out with shirts inside out and backwards.
Nice.
And we're like,
I love that.
You know what?
It's like me.
Were you bathed? Did you eat? Fine. If that's how you want to wear your shirt today, go for it, man.
And again, that goes back to the 10%.
Yeah.
You're taking care of the main things. Everything else, you just don't have time for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my thing, dude. If I show up to Buck's house and I come in there and his kid's wearing cowboy boots, some underoos, and like a Marlboro t-shirt, I'm like, hell yeah, buddy.
But his face is clean?
I'm like, high five. Let's do this. But that's all I ask for is he's got a runny nose. Cool. Let's keep some tissues around. Keep some tissues by me. That way, if I'm playing with him, I'll do a little wipey. Make sure that we're taking care. We're just dotting I's and crossing T's.
I would actually say that the hands are more important than the nose if we're talking about everyone else.
Yeah.
And the spread of the gross little kid germs.
Yeah.
You know, let him snot and look like a little, like Linus all day. I don't care. Doesn't affect me. What does affect me is his little grubby mitts all over my keyboard, and then I come in and
Bingo.
I'm typing stuff in, and then all of a sudden, I've got HIV.
We learned very quickly that rather than telling them what they can and can't touch, just anything they can't touch needs to be high enough up that they can't touch it. That's it.
Yeah. I just think parents are holding on for dear life, man.
White-knuckling it.
You know, they are. And they're just... They're doing the best they can. Could probably stretch it a little more, push a little harder. Maybe a little Dan Lanning high tea, like third quarter motivational speech. But outside of that,
sometimes you got to do that with little kids. Sometimes you got to rise above it all a little bit. And just a little, an ounce of caution, prevention. Like my son had like an underdeveloped, like swallowing mechanism. Like he couldn't, when he was little, he was born premature. And so he had a real swallowing problem. So for the first, like, 3 years of his life, he drooled. He was kind of like, and it was hilarious because we had the French Mastiff. They were kind of the same creature. They just drooled everywhere. So he just constantly had like a sweat ring, but with drool. It looked like he was just an old sweaty man. And so when you went somewhere, one of two things, he had a lot of bibs or you brought a shirt. You had to bring a change of shirt wherever we went, because at some point you look down, you're like, buddy.
Yeah, both of our kids drooled like crazy with teething, and so we just had like six bibs on hand at all times.
There you go. That's all I'm asking for. That's all I'm asking for is, okay, we're acknowledging that we got a drool problem. We're acknowledging we got a snot problem. So all I'm saying, and I get you can't be perfect all the time, but I'm just asking to not ignore it, because what you're doing is then you're forcing your snottiness upon the rest of us. Like you're at a playground, or God forbid you go to like some sort of Johnny jump up sort of thing, and you bring King of the Mucus there, you're doing everyone a disservice. Again, we're all in a community. We're all on this journey of life together. And I would like us to start pulling in the same direction if we could.
Fan text line says, we call our kid Johnny Butterfingers for a reason. They're disgusting.
Well, that's universal, is it not? I mean, is there a kid isn't like that?
They can't help it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying, just let's be aware. Let's be aware of the situation. Let's take a roundup of our Sipowitz from time to time and put a little effort into it.
Good analogy on the text line. It's like smoking versus chewing. When someone is chewing, I don't care. Just, you know, chew. It doesn't affect me. But when you're smoking, it does affect me.
Bingo.
Because your smoke is billowing into my lungs.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you're going to smoke, go outside.
Pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention.
Yeah.
Just the
billowing. Now you're sounding like a snowflake.
it's a common theme that I have is that, look, we're a bunch of savages, and no one is being aware of what we're doing to the group. Like, we're just a bunch of talking monkeys out here, and we got to live in the tribe, and far too often, we're out here with no consequences, thinking we can do whatever the hell we want. And there should be more consequences.
Call them out on it, Big Soup.
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
That's your job.
There you go. Can't be doing this. And that's why people are getting away with stuff. It's why pickleball people are kicking each other in the face.
Well, there's something,
You seen that clip?
Yeah, I did see that.
Dude, my man's playing pickleball, and dude goes over to pick up a paddle, and he roundhouse kicks him in the face.
Did you see why, though?
What? Is there a reason to kick someone in the face for pickleball?
Ooh, that might be a good drop. What was that?
We'll find out.
I didn't know there was a good reason to kick someone in the face.
No, I didn't say good reason. I just said, did you see why he did it? I didn't say it was good.
I just saw the clip. I do knew that.
Well, the bro went all high T when they won the last point.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you kick him in the face and go 10 times higher?
Again, didn't say it was right.
So if someone celebrates, by the way, you shouldn't celebrate a pickleball win, but you celebrate a pickleball win.
Thank you.
Therefore, you get to kick someone in the face?
No one said that, but you said it.
Hmm.
You shouldn't really celebrate a pickleball win high T.
Not.
Like, that's like, I don't know.
See,
it's not kickable, but it's douchey behavior that some people...
Dude, he booted that guy. Yeah, well, Stenaru style.
Some people don't have impulse control, as we've talked about many times. Yeah. And so when you piss somebody off, you got to be careful these days. It's like road rage. Like, road rage should not lead to a shooting.
No.
However, it often does. Sometimes it does because people don't have impulse control. So you got to be careful.
Especially
when you're leaning over, tying your shoe at the net.
Maybe that's true. Is that once you talk the trash or whatever, you go all high T, maybe keep your head on a swivel. I can't believe that no one did anything. Like... That dude just, like, I mean, he really could have hurt that guy. Damn near knocked him out, and no one did anything.
Yeah, everyone just stood around because everyone who plays pickleball doesn't fight.
I want you guys both to know that if we ever form a pickleball team and someone... Janikowski is you in the face, I promise there is a fight coming.
There will be repercussions
for our pickleball team. There will be retributions. Even if I get my ass kicked, Maybe that's Brock Lesnar, but I'm telling you, I'm swinging. Like, who just let, he just kicks in the face and everyone's like, hey, man, what are
you
doing?
And everyone's like, whoa.
Well, they probably hated the guy who got kicked in the face.
Oh, well.
So everybody's probably like, yes, finally.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Maybe, TJ had it coming.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that dude really was the biggest douche and everyone was secretly happy he got kicked in the face.
Now, I have impulse control.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between me and the guy who kicked the pickleballer in the face.
Yeah.
But I do remember a high school tennis match where the opponents were like that guy. And I was so pissed. It really pissed me off.
You thought about it?
No, I didn't think about it because I have impulse control, but it did make me viscerally mad. Yeah. I was like, what is that?
Yeah, it's high school tennis.
Douchebag.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have brought up a new element to this that I didn't think about. Maybe that's why no one reacted.
Yeah, because they don't like him.
They don't like him.
Well, he did act like a douchebag, so he's probably a douchebag.
Yeah. Yeah, talking trash in pickleball.
And sometimes you need a sneaker to the nose, even in pickleball.
It's a pretty bad kick, though. Dude should go to prison for that.
Come on.
You could really.
Come on.
This feels very backwards. It feels like Sook should be advocating for this.
What is the matter with this guy? Who is? Where? What have you done with Jason Sukan?
Sucker kick to the face?
God, you're a snowflake today.
Gosh. I am amazed that you don't think that there should be some legal action against this
man. Hey, listen, when two people fight, that's between, I don't care.
Two people did not fight.
The dude was tying his shoe. If you, look, I am a full believer that in our society, we should all have the ability to hockey fight.
Look.
Where we look at each other and we're like, okay.
Drop the gloves, let's go.
You think I'm an ass, I think you're an ass, we're going to settle this, let's drop them, and no one dies, here it goes. Society would be way better off. But what you don't get to do is be a cowardly son of a bitch. And when the dude's tying his shoe, that you rear back and kick him in the head.
It's a sucker punch. It's worse than a sucker punch. But it's the same principle.
But sucker punches happen, and they happen to people like that guy when they act like that.
And if you sucker punch someone, you can go to jail for that.
Well, sure, fine. Is he going to jail? No.
Do we know that?
Be prepared for non-commiserate consequences. When you act like a douchebag, be prepared. Because people are crazy.
This is weird that you are taking this.
Well, people are crazy.
The world is.
You guys did some sort of Freaky Friday today, just like switched skins or something. I don't know what's going on. I know. It's a Twisted Tuesday. I don't know.
Look, I just think people are crazy out there.
Yeah.
And I tell my wife this all the time. My wife gets really mad behind the wheel. And I'm like, you need to calm down. Yeah. And I'm telling you.
I told that to my son.
Bad stuff is going to happen. Yeah. And you never know who it's going to be.
My son is a super angry driver, and I pleaded with him. I said, dude, you are going to flip. He loves to flip people off and like brake check. And I said, dude, you are going to piss off the wrong person sometime.
And that's it right there.
You cannot do it.
So that guy who got kicked in the face was your son driving his little car.
That's when we call the advocates. we sick Donnikin on him.
Do you want to preview the drop? See how it sounds?
Yeah.
What?
That's all it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Could you put it next to that for me?
Sure.
Thank you. Well, I tell you, we're filling the drop right up with Big Sook's drops lately. You're on a roll.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Arr.
All right. Well, that's enough. It's enough high tea for one segment.
Yeah.
Or snowflakeism, as it were. Or wokeness.
Yeah, whatever you want. I'm going to do the Trump dance now. I love that that's become all the rage.
It's all over the place, man.
CJ Stroud, John Jones.
Christian Pulisic, Captain America, the soccer player, did it against Jamaica last night.
I'm sorry, but it might be the best thing he's done. Or will ever do.
Well, they're giving imaginary handies. What the hell is happening?
We're dancing, that's
We're
what.
We're dancing. YMCA.
Thank you.
Why?
I think we should call it quits for the day.
Yeah, we're done. Leave them on a high note.
You know what we have to do today?
What?
We have to recap the Friday night not-so-fight.
Ugh.
We didn't
talk
about that. Yeah.
Ugh. That thing.
Yeah. I want to talk about it.
That thing is pathetic.
So we got to do that today.
What? Yeah. What?
And here's the other thing. We have big late-breaking Big Ten Oregon news.
Which I didn't even know we needed news. I thought that the news was already news.
No one knew this.
I announced it as news Saturday night, had to walk it back yesterday, and it turns out I was right all along.
Even the Big Ten knew this.
I told like five people yesterday that it was a done deal. Turns out I was wrong. But then I was right.
100 people on the YouTube on Saturday night that it was the deal.
I was right, and then I was wrong, and now I'm back to being right.
So we'll get to that next on The Fan. Yeah. Poll question time. On X at 1080 The Fan yesterday, our question was, now this is a first in fan history. I know it is because, well, I'm the one that has to read the results of these.
Yeah. So.
And yesterday's poll question finished exactly 50-50.
Wow.
That has never happened.
Look at us.
Maybe it has, but I don't remember it.
As far as you know, yeah. I don't think there's any sort of leather-bound reference book on this, so I think you're okay.
We'll check with the archives.
There you go.
But oftentimes, that will take them weeks to get back to us. Yeah. Because there's a lot in the archives.
Somewhere Mike in Ridgefield will know this.
Yeah.
He'll just have it in the back of his head.
Well, we don't often have just poll questions with just two answers.
No.
So that's rare in and of itself. And it was exactly 50-50. The poll question yesterday was, is Oregon really going to win the college football championship this season? You know it, 50%. No way, 50%.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think there's a good... I don't lean one way or another. I just went with the no, simply because I said, if you give me one team versus the field, I'll take the field pretty much every time, especially when there's not a dominant team. And that's the one thing I know for certain about college football this year. There is not a single dominant team in this year's field. Doesn't exist.
So today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan is as follows. Oregon is in the Big Ten championship game.
Who knew?
Well, no one until today,
but
not even the Big Ten knew.
I was 100% certain that if Oregon won, they clinched.
Oregon beat Wisconsin, you mean?
Yeah, Oregon beats Wisconsin, they clinched to the point where our big boss, Ryan Cooley, came in with the lady that puts together our traffic, like all our commercials, and Cooley goes, hey, is Oregon clinched? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, I don't think they've clinched. And I'm like, no, they've clinched, because we were trying to figure out what to do with inventory with the Big Ten title game. And I was like, no, they're in. They beat Wisconsin and they're in. And he was like, oh. And then I found out like 3 hours later that wasn't true, that they hadn't clinched.
But it was true.
And then today I woke up and the Big Ten was like, no, it's true. It's They've clinched.
Yeah, because really, if you think about it, they were undefeated. If they beat Wisconsin, they would stay undefeated. And that would mean that even if they lost to Washington, they would still have one loss, and they already beat Ohio State as one loss team. So that would really only then enter Indiana and Penn State into the equation. And
how does the conference not figure this out for 3 days?
But yeah, there's two spots.
I guess there were so many different scenarios that they were going through all the convoluted tiebreakers that it took them a while.
Shouldn't you know before Saturday? Like that if the Oregon wins, they're in?
Yeah, it
like,
might have been nice to announce
it.
Yeah,
it seems like someone's job should have been to figure this out.
We've been watching the Big Ten for about a year now. Not that we didn't watch it before, but closely now that Oregon and USC and all
It's not any better than the Pac-12.
Dude, it's worse. Their officiating is terrible. Their games are boring. Their stadiums are overrated. And they don't. The league is worse than the Pac-12.
I just love that everyone thought it was true, and then they're like, it was a swag situation. Hold on. It's over. We think.
Hold on, everybody. Here's the situation. It's over.
Well, today it was official. They put out a meme or a little photo of Oregon celebrating, and indeed.
It's over.
Whatever happens.
Oregon's in.
Oregon's in.
Okay, here is
it's
the question.
It's over.
Oregon is in the Big Ten championship game. Who do you want to see them play? Indiana, Penn State, or Ohio State? Vote. And vote hard. Okay, so coming up next, well, I put those three on these. This is the only three they could play.
Yeah.
So it's down to those three.
My answer again is Ohio State. To me, it was the best game of the year.
Let's
it was
watch
unbelievable.
It again.
Let's redo it. Let's go.
Unless Indiana beats Ohio State.
Sure.
If Indiana somehow beats Ohio State,
then go Indiana.
I'm all in on the two undefeateds.
Absolutely.
Because who else does Indiana have? Do they have another game?
Purdue, I
believe.
Purdue. Yeah. Purdue,
yes.
All right. So when we come back, we'll tell you what they figured out. And it's really not a lot.
No.
Other than Oregon would, in fact, finish in the top two no matter what happens the rest of the way.
Yes. So it really doesn't matter. Oregon is in the college football playoff. It's just a matter of where their seeding is.
Well, no, they're not in the college football
playoff. They are in the college
playoff. I mean, they are, but technically, we're talking about the Big Ten.
Yes.
I don't want to confuse people. You're already confusing people. This is about the Big Ten championship games, which is in Indianapolis on, I believe, December 7th.
Yes.
And right here on The Fan.
Mm-hmm.
1080, The Fan.
Officially.
But, yeah, a lot can happen with the other three teams because Indiana, Ohio State play, and then you got Penn State sitting there. So we'll get to those scenarios next. Here's Buck. Vancouver Fort text line, 503-864-6326. Deal, one of our fine, probably at this stage of the game, one of our top 73 texters.
Yeah, he's
to the program.
He's in the playoffs. How about that?
He's doing great.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he's just you know, we don't hear from Dieter as much anymore, and Deal has really picked up some slack.
Yeah,
Deal's dialed.
Yeah, he's taking the ball and he's run with it. He says, one game away from Oregon going undefeated in the Big Ten. No one ever went undefeated in the Pac-12. Let's just join the SEC next.
There you go.
That's where they're at. Yeah, no, Big Ten stuff's easy.
Everyone's pissed about the SEC.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But we're finding out today that Oregon is in the Big Ten championship game.
Officially.
It is official. Yeah. They will be in the game in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Probably feels pretty good that you don't have to sweat much at all until the playoff, because you're probably in that too.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, really, there's seemingly no way that you could get bumped. I mean, they've all but said that they are not going to punish people for conference title game losses.
I mean, worst case scenario, you have two losses and you're probably in the tournament at the 8 or 9 slot or somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's so complicated that nobody knew this until today. but the Ducks are in. The Big Ten says it followed a comprehensive evaluation of 10 scenarios, and there wasn't one where Oregon did not finish in the top two. In 4 of the scenarios, they would play Indiana. In 4 others, they would meet Ohio State. One scenario exists where they'd play Penn State, and then the last scenario is either Indiana or Penn State, depending on the highest cumulative conference win percentage of all conference opponents.
99% chance here that you play Indiana or Ohio State.
The winner.
Yeah, whoever wins that game, unless some sort of absolute chaos happens that last week of the season against Michigan or against Purdue, you're playing Indiana or Ohio State. So, I mean, and obviously I think you'd rather, if you're talking about winning, I think you'd rather play Indiana. But if Indiana goes out and throttles Ohio State, maybe that changes. But from a talent standpoint, you saw the way Michigan was able to slow down Indiana. I mean, that's the easier game. But I don't think anyone's ducking Ohio State. I don't think you're scared of Ohio State. And it just gives you another opportunity to prove yourself on the biggest stage. And your reward for that will be a bye. And if not, if somehow you tripped up against Ohio State, then you're probably that 5 seed. And then you're playing more than likely Boise State, or maybe on the outside chance, an Arizona State or a Colorado or a BYU, a team like that.
Yeah, I was getting ready. I was going to pull this up here. Now I can't find it on my email.
What are you looking for?
Well, they sent out an email with all the scenarios on it. And I was looking to see what the scenario was where they played Penn State. And
my guess would be that both Ohio State and Indiana would have to lose multiple games.
Well, because they would just need – Penn State has a chance if Indiana – loses.
I think you would
because now you'd have you'd have one loss Indiana, one loss Ohio State, one loss Penn State.
I think what
but
you
Ohio
would
State
need,
would have head to head over Penn State.
I think what you would need is Indiana to beat Ohio State.
Here we go.
No. I'm trying to think of how that worked because they haven't played Indiana. So they would need Ohio State to beat Indiana, Indiana to lose to Purdue, and then Ohio State to lose to Michigan.
Yeah, it says,
that's not happening.
That's
just not happening.
Indiana would have to lose both.
Yeah.
As you said, Ohio State would have to, then lose to Michigan. Yeah. That's the only way.
Ducks fans should watch the game this weekend knowing that the winner is the team you play.
Yes.
That's how it should be.
I was trying to think because the Indiana thing wouldn't be head-to-head, so yes.
There's one other scenario where they can play Penn State.
And that is what?
And it's Ohio State, so it's Ohio State finishes 7-2, so they lose to Michigan.
Mm.
Indiana and Penn State both finish 8-1, both lost to Ohio State. So this is the more likely scenario. And that would be Oregon is obviously the number one. The number two would then be determined by highest cumulative conference winning percentage of all conference opponents at the end of the season between Indiana and Penn State.
I don't know. That's
so sure. Penn State, who do they have left?
I'd have to look. I don't know who Penn State has left.
So Penn State is a huge fan of Michigan against Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then, well, I mean, at that point, no, they need Indiana to beat Ohio State and Michigan to beat Ohio State.
They have Minnesota and Maryland.
So they should win the next two.
Yeah.
Although that Minnesota game.
Minnesota's a little frisky.
Yeah, that's in Minnesota.
Let's be honest. Penn State's offense is very meh. So we'll see what happens.
But they got a shot. But
again, more than likely,
long shot.
Whoever wins Indiana and Ohio State, there you go. Purdue is not beating Indiana. It's not happening. I don't think Indiana's,
they are rivals.
I don't think Indiana. I love that, that's they're making that the rival, and then like the Penn State finishes up with Maryland. That's the big rival. Like, okay.
Who is their like natural rival?
I don't know, but at the end of the year, I mean, right? You always play. You should play the rivalry.
It feels like Penn State and like Pitt would be rivals, but they're obviously not in the same conference. Yeah. So
that's where you're getting saddled up. Is
I don't know.
When they made Colorado and Utah rivals in the Pac-12. You're like, well, this is your rival. Now you play them at the end of the year.
You guys showed up at the same time, so here you go.
Yeah, here, take it.
So Purdue's only won one game, one stinking game.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not.
And they're probably firing their grounds crew. Did you see that play over the weekend?
Why?
Well, so the guy in the corner of the end zone. See, look up. Well, you missed it. But, like, Indiana just, they had Indiana scoring a touchdown. So the Indiana end zone is red. And then there's a big white. There's usually a second block color that's about 4 yards deep. And then you get into the green of the field, or you get into cement or whatever, right? Well, whoever did the Purdue end zone did a black end zone with a thin, I mean thin, like razor thin,
like white sideline thin
white stripe, and then more black. So my guy for Purdue thinks he's catching a touchdown pass.
He's running a route along the back of the end zone, and he basically pulls an Orlovsky for a receiver, and he just runs out the back, catches it, looks down, he thinks his feet are in, he's 3 feet behind the pylon.
Yeah, he really thought that the kids, when he saw the line, he thought that the excess, which is normally a different color, was the actual end zone. Someone at Purdue,
and it's his home stadium.
Yeah. How dumb can you be? And I'm not blaming the kid.
No.
I'm blaming the grounds crew.
Whose idea that was? I don't know.
Great idea. Hey, I got an idea, guys. Let's paint the out of bounds the exact same as
the black field. Is always cool, right? Let's do that.
Like, what?
Black.
Yeah.
Like, Purdue doesn't have a gold that they can use there?
Or that's just green? Terrible. Green grass?
Yeah, it's awful.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
It's
instant fire.
Bang your head against the wall, stupid.
Yeah, straight to jail.
Here we go in that Big Ten again.
Whoever was in charge of that, that's atrocious. That's atrocious.
Although, I'm looking at the play. The kid, you know, I mean, come on, the pylon, dude. It's bright orange.
I understand. You probably should be aware of the pylon, but
the Penn State guy looking at him is hilarious.
Yeah, I know. But when you're in the midst of all that, you know, sometimes when, you know, stuff's happening fast, you don't realize it because, to be fair, he's looking up at the ball. And he doesn't even look down for the pylon until he's already caught it. So the pylon's never in his field of vision. He just is running along black. And I don't blame you. If you're running on green grass, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in the end zone, and the end zone's all black, and all you see beneath you is all black, you assume you're in the end zone.
You know who would have been all over that? Dan Lanning.
He wouldn't have allowed that.
That's right.
Well, they're running a college football highlight thing right now, and everyone keeps scoring touchdowns. I don't see one other end zone.
I've never seen that.
That's painted like that.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm looking at Purdue. You know, they got shut out by Ohio State, and they got shut out by Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So they lost 80-0.
It's not good.
To Ohio State and Oregon. Mm-hmm. They also lost to Penn State and only scored 10 points.
Yeah.
How on earth... In Wisconsin, they only scored 6. Nebraska, they only scored 10. How on earth did they score 49 against Illinois?
I don't know. And Illinois actually has a pretty good defense.
Explain that.
There is.
I think that was the week they changed quarterbacks, so maybe no one had seen him. That's as far as I can go.
Purdue has lost to Notre Dame, Illinois, Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State. You know, nothing to be ashamed of there. True. But they also lost to Oregon State.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen what the Beavs have going on, but.
So my Hoosiers.
At this point, losing to Oregon State, it's about as bad as it gets.
My Hoosiers control their own. Control their own destiny.
Dude, I think it'd be amazing.
So does Ohio State, really.
What'll be the interesting thing is, because they have basically said, or the general feeling out there, enough people have spoken about this, that they are not going to punish teams for going and losing in a conference title game. Right? That they're saying the conference title game should only be able to help you. What I'll be interested in is Indiana. If Indiana loses to Ohio State and they're sitting there as a one-loss team and they're fifth in the country right now, especially let's say it's a bad loss. Let's say Ohio State pickleballs them, smacks them right in the face. Does someone have the balls to keep a two-loss Georgia or a two-loss Ole Miss or whoever out and put in a one-loss Indiana when Indiana's best win would be...
Who would it be?
Washington?
Oh, my God, really?
Washington or Michigan? Because Michigan State's not a bowl team. I mean, I think the only bowl teams would be Washington and if Michigan wins another
but
game.
Can I counter that?
Go ahead,
counter. With a, if Texas loses to Texas A&M, mm-hmm. and that game is in College Station,
sure.
they have two losses, mm-hmm. Texas. And who would be their best win?
It'd be better than...
It'd be Michigan.
It'd be better than Washington, wouldn't it?
Well, you said Washington or Michigan. Yeah. Theirs would be Michigan. Oh, no, they beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Oklahoma?
No, it's Vanderbilt.
Florida?
Vanderbilt's good? I mean, I know they beat Vanderbilt.
They were ranked.
We'll see if they lose to Texas.
But seriously, like Kirby Smart's doing all this bitching. Oh, Has he looked at Texas? They beat the crap out of Texas. Outside of Georgia... Texas hasn't played anybody.
Oh, trust me. Kirby knows that his ass is riding a razor-thin margin.
I mean, just stupid.
Kirby is out there pounding that drum.
They're campaigning already. All those two law schools.
Yeah. Ole Miss is talking about it. Lane is talking about it.
I got to tell you, I like watching the SEC squirm.
Yeah. It's kind of fun.
It's cute.
Tennessee's sweating bullets right now. But the one thing that I will agree, and this was Lane Kiffin brought this up, and he said that he's heard from multiple coaches. And
well, we'll play that. Let's stick a fork in that. We'll play that next because that's coming up. And we have the college football playoff rankings coming out. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Oregon will be number one. Do you think they will be?
I think so.
It is Isaac and Suk on the Fan. All right, so here are the SEC standings. You've got Texas on top. At 5-1 in the league and 9-1 overall. Mm-hmm. Okay. You following so far?
Yeah. And they got a little meat left on the bone because they've got Kentucky, who's not terrible.
Hey!
And then they got A&M.
Ryan Buckley has a Kentucky stat that's going to blow your mind.
Ooh, hot Kentucky talk.
Are you ready?
Yeah. What do we got?
Yeah, I saw this today on Twitter, and I don't know. I haven't verified it myself yet. Haven't gone into the archives. But Kentucky plays at Texas this weekend. It's the furthest west they've ever played a football game.
Can you believe that?
Wait.
You need him to repeat
that? University of Kentucky has never played a football game further west than Austin, Texas.
Right the hell out of town.
It seems impossible.
That does seem impossible. But I mean,
apparently is fact.
Anything is possible!
Well, let's not act like any teams out west are clamoring for Kentucky to come play.
Very
there,
true. So. I would say if that's any other SEC team, we're killing them.
Sure.
But because it's Kentucky, it's like, oh, that's cute.
But at the same time, like, I always hear, like, who is it? I think it was Danny and Dusty were somehow, like, challenging a team to go play Boise at the end of the year. And I was like, well, first off, teams don't go play out of conference teams at the end of the year.
Georgia does.
And second, why would any SEC team go play in a 30,000-seat stadium in Boise, Idaho, or 35, whatever it is? It's a tiny stadium.
So Texas 5-1 and 9-1.
Okay.
Texas A&M 5-1 and 8-2, and those two teams play last week of the season. Mm. Georgia is done in the SEC, which is weird. They still play UMass and Georgia Tech, which I don't really know why that is, but okay.
Well, they play Georgia Tech at the end of the year because that's.
I get that, but why? So they've got. Why do they have? It's just stupid. But they're 6-2.
Well, the UMass game is, remember, at the end of the year before rivalry week. Everyone in the SEC usually plays.
I know why they play both of those games, why they are both stuffed at the end of their season and they're done in league and everybody else still has to play two league games is really stupid.
Sure.
And it shouldn't be that way, but whatever it is. Georgia 6-2 and 8-2. Tennessee 5-2, 8-2. Mm-hmm. Alabama and Ole Miss 4-2 and 8-2. So you can see why the SEC schools are squirming a little bit right now.
Yeah.
And here is what Lane Kiffin said when he was asked about that today.
What are your thoughts on just what the SEC championship means or the game means for teams that maybe like y'all have two losses already?
Ooh, it's a challenging question. I don't know. I guess I would say, you know, it's changed. The conference championship, could have a big impact both ways for people. So I've talked to other coaches, so I'll just kind of give you the feeling from some other coaches that, you know, they don't want to be in it. And, you know, the risk to get a bye, the reward to get a bye versus the risk to get knocked out completely. I mean, that's a really big risk just to get a bye. So I think it's ended up being a very unique situation of all, you know, postseason sports, the way that that system set up there and how you could go to that and get knocked out. And if you don't go, you're in. I'm not a big gambler, but that's the kind of one of them Vegas, you know, like poker table thing. Like, that's all in. And you're going all in the best conference in football. So you got to play somebody great too. Very different than a lot of these other conferences.
Yeah. And this is where I think I want to have faith, because I've heard enough people that are close to, you know, the college football committee, and that are speaking out, and they are saying that the conference title game should, and we hope, fingers crossed, only be able to elevate you, not punish you. So we'll see how this goes. See, to me, if you're an SEC team, Ole Miss, and I don't know where all the tiebreakers sit. The only two teams that control their fate in the SEC are A&M and Texas. If either one of those wins out, they're in, because they're the only two teams that still have to play each other, and they both have one conference loss. Whereas Georgia, Tennessee, Bama, Ole Miss, they're all sitting at two losses. None of them play each other. So as chalk would hold, we think, none of them really have any meat left on the bone. Texas or Texas A&M should be in. That should be a one-loss team. Who gets in? Let's say Texas runs and beats Texas A&M. And Texas A&M, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and Ole Miss should all, when you look at their schedule, no one really plays a tough team. They should all be a two-loss in conference. I don't know all the scenarios and who goes where.
So it comes down to a tiebreaker.
Yes, and I don't, with that many two-loss teams, I don't know where that tiebreaker sits. But Texas or Texas A&M, one of those is almost guaranteed to be in.
Yeah, the winner of that game.
The winner of the game.
Because they play in 2 weeks.
Yes. And the other one, like, it's Auburn and someone else that really shouldn't factor into this at all.
Kirby said, I don't know what they're looking for, really. I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know. He said, I wish they could really define that criteria. I wish they'd do the eyeball test and come down here and look at the people we're playing against and look at them.
I mean, just stupid.
You can't see that stuff on TV. We're trying to be the cumulative whole good quality team and not be on this emotion roller coaster that's controlled by people in a room somewhere that may not understand football like we do as coaches.
Yeah, he's lobbying.
What an idiot.
Well, Mike Riley understands. He's a coach.
You're not going to get all of them in.
He's on the committee.
I mean, what are we talking about? One, two, well, three, four, five, six.
Hello.
You're not going to get six SEC teams in.
No, but I think most of those schools will get in.
I think so.
It's just, well, if they take care of business. Yeah. It's just, we got to remember, too, that Georgia just got, didn't they just?
What?
When was that? Last year or 2 years ago that they got left out?
Last year.
That was last year.
That's one game. It was the one game they couldn't lose. They lost to Alabama.
Forgive them for being a little sensey to it.
Yeah.
So I get it. I feel like the SEC in the end is, you know, going to be rewarded, because they always are.
Yeah.
Because they're the best league.
Yeah. Someone's saying they sound like they're scared of not getting six teams in. They are. They absolutely
Well, of course
are.
They are. And this is exactly why they were at the start of all this going around saying, hey, we want more automatic bids for our schools. But,
you know, six is asking a lot. Of a 12-team playoff, and you want half.
They aren't getting six.
They're not getting six.
They might get five.
Unless there's some chaos and, you know, you may get some weird things, but you would assume that the Big Ten gets three. You know, let's say, so if the Big Ten gets three, the ACC gets one.
Right now, the Big Ten has four.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see. But they're going to get at least three. I'm saying bare minimum, they get three. The Big Ten's getting three. And then you've got the SEC. And the Big 12 gets at least one. Boise State, that's six. And then if you add six SEC teams, that would get your 12. And that's I just don't think someone else, whether it's another Big 10 team, another ACC team, maybe another Big 12 team, someone's going to sneak in there, which means you're probably going to have like Tennessee maybe get left out. And
good.
Fine. I have no sympathy for you. At some point, I understand that is the best conference, and those are all worthy teams, but I will never feel bad for the team that gets left out last. Like, I'm sorry, you had a chance to do it on the field, and you didn't get it done. And I'm sorry your schedule is a little harder than someone else's, but, you know, when you're the fifth or sixth best team in your conference, sometimes that's not good enough.
What?
Be better.
All right, the college football playoff rankings are coming out, I think, right?
Oh, I forgot Notre Dame. So chalk that. So they're not
only going to get four or five.
They're going to get four or five.
And it's possible that, you know, I mean, look, there's still football left. They could stumble.
Yeah.
And
But there's really not a lot of stumbling blocks there.
But they could. And Texas or Texas A&M, whoever loses, could still jump right back into the championship game and lose again, and they're out.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, I mean, can we just let it play out?
That's my whole thing. I get you're having to posture. My biggest thing is when this, and I'll ask Dave about this, because Bartu is pretty attuned to this stuff, although this one's brand new. I just want to see if anyone has the balls to punish someone for a conference championship game. Because if you do, then this whole thing is irrelevant, and you need to do with conference title games. So, like, whether you punish Colorado or Arizona State or BYU or Georgia or Indiana, whoever, if you make it to your conference title game and you were in and you lose and that keeps you out, then I don't know what the F we're doing. Then this whole thing is just pointless, because now we're rewarding cowardice and ineptitude by not getting there, and we're punishing people for being excellent, getting to a championship game and falling short.
Being a man of increase?
Exactly. You're punishing being a man of increase, and you're rewarding people that just sit at home with their thumb on their butt. It just, that can't be. Right.
So we'll get more into this as the rankings come out here in a bit, and we'll tell you. Sounds like there's 21 teams left for a spot.
Yeah.
21. And there's a few of them that are kind of interesting and probably forgotten about. So we'll get to that coming up on The Fan.